Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. It is what? October 9th. I'm trying to think ahead here. Everything is just blending together. We're starting to get like the lull, but like then I think things are going to pick back up. So last week we talked about some of the M5 products that could be coming, Hartley. Like, but I feel like we're just in a little bit of a slow period. What do you think?
Well, we're always in this intermediary stage at this time of year where we know we've got past the iPhone event, we've had the new Apple Watches, and in this instance, some new AirPods as well. But we still haven't quite got to that last run at the end of the year where we get new MacBooks, new iPads. And we are still expecting quite a bit to come out this year. But the kind of the tech community has now had plenty of time to digest what we've just got. So the inevitable nature of things is we're always on to the next thing.
It's wild how bored we are all already. It's like, okay, we got the iPhones. I'm bored now. What's next? That's a really bad way to think about tech for everyone else. But like from a work perspective, it's like we've spent so long talking about all these iPhones and then we got them and we spend even longer talking about it. And now that like the reviews are out and like most of the stuff is out, it's like, all right, well, now what? And so I'll tell you what's what. We talked about all that stuff that's on the, you know, that's coming soon. But in the early part of next year, we have the iPhone, what we're assuming is the follow-up to the 16e with the 17e. And then there's been rumors about the low-cost MacBook. So we'll talk about those two things here. Let's start with the iPhone 17e, or do you want to start with, is that what we're thinking is going to be first?
I don't know. I think that early next year will be an interesting time for Apple's entry-level products. This year's been a pretty good year for that. We've had the update to the Apple Watch SE just last month, which, you know, that came 3 years after the last model. And also we've had the iPhone 16e, which is now starting to feel like quite a long time ago, but that was this year. With three new products early next year, we are expecting the iPhone 17e, the iPad 12, and now this low-cost MacBook. All of those should arrive in a broadly similar time frame early next year. So it's definitely an interesting time if you're interested in some more affordable Apple devices. Say, in particular, I think the MacBook is the one that will interest a lot of people because there isn't really an option available in that price range. I know that you can get like an M1 MacBook Air from Walmart in the US, and I think that's $699, but that's a pretty old device. The prospect of a new sort of specialized low cost MacBook, I think will be really interesting to a lot of people.
Let's keep diving in on that because I think that's the more interesting thing right now. So with that, that would come with a mobile chip then. So the A18 Pro, we're not looking at Apple Silicon, correct?
Well, the A18 Pro is still an Apple Silicon chip, but it's
not an M chip. Let me rephrase that. So because they're all built upon the same architecture.
So the A series chips are effectively where Apple debuts its new chip technology generally. And everything kind of trickles down from there. So the A18 is effectively the same as the M4. The M4 is a scaled up version of the A18. And what we've just got last month with the A19 and A19 Pro, that is essentially the M5. But the reason this is interesting with the Mac is when Apple presented these M series chips, they've never actually said what M stands for, but we've all just assumed that means Mac. And that's why it was a big deal when they announced, oh, we're putting an M series chip in the iPad, because it was like, oh, it's a Mac grade chip coming down to this mobile device. Now the tables are really turning because now we're going to get a Mac with an A series chip, which was designed for the iPhone. And there are limitations to that. So it is less powerful. It supports less memory, only 8 gigabytes of memory. I suppose it is possible that Apple could find a way to increase that just for this device. But right now in the iPhone, any iPhone with an A18 Pro has just 8 gigabytes of memory. I imagine Thunderbolt controllers and USB-C controllers, that is also something that is scaled through those chips. So I imagine this MacBook will not feature Thunderbolt, and it probably will only feature a single USB-C port with 3.1 speeds, just like the iPhone 16 Pro. It's just an iPhone 16 Pro in like a MacBook Air. So it will run macOS, but the hardware you're getting is the same as that of an iPhone 16 Pro.
I was going to say even more similar to like the 2016 MacBook, the 12-inch MacBook, basically, because that only had one single port. You know, it had a little bit more color options because that's something that we're looking at here. But really, it just got rose gold. I think that was the only one that I can think of that was kind of like unusual. Well,
it was also available in gold. It's the only MacBook we've had in recent times that's been available in gold. And in that sense, yes, it does seem to have some similarities to the 12-inch MacBook. Although that is just me speculating. Apple can always debut like an they can call it the A18 Pro, but it may actually be quite a differently engineered chip that does include more controllers for USB, two USB-C ports. It may well also support more memory. But as far as we know in the rumor cycle, if they're telling us that it's going to support the A18, that device will have the features of the A18 as we know it so far.
It also just makes sense that if this is rumored to be around $599 or $699 price point, that Apple will cut out a lot of things. So one USB-C port, non-Thunderbolt, makes sense to me. You know, 8 gigs of memory makes sense to me. This is for those people that, who do we always recommend the Air to? Like the people that just need to do a couple of things on their laptop and an iPad's just not suitable enough for them. And they just want a more traditional computer experience, but they're not doing anything crazy. This is perfect for them, perfect for students. They're just note-taking. They're writing off some emails. Like they're not doing anything that requires a bunch of processing power. And so this is even better. You know, we say get the Air because that was the best option at the time, but this would be an even better option for those people because it's $400 cheaper.
I think that's a really important point, actually, because as much as we have said over the last few years that the MacBook Air is a great device, which it is an expensive device. It's important to remember that in the market, that is not a cheap laptop when you look at what options are available from other companies like Samsung. And you can get a pretty capable Windows machine for not very much money. And then, of course, you have Chromebooks. And if you are on a budget, you're heading off to college or university, and you're on a budget, you just need something to get your work done. Even with education discount, $899 for a MacBook Air is a big ask. Especially at a time of your life when maybe you have a lot of other things that you're trying to afford. And, you know, it's natural to also want to be able to pick up some AirPods and an iPhone and all of this other stuff. It adds up. And for those people, I think this device will actually be perfect. I think that, you know, just like how there has been such a clear place for the entry-level iPad, and also to a lesser extent for entry-level AirPods and an entry-level iPad, the Mac has always been kind of missing that. Something that feels really competitive, and affordable, because I know that if I was on a really strict budget and I was maybe looking for my first Mac, I would feel pretty stuck. And this would provide that perfect option for someone's first MacBook. Or even if you need a secondary device, like maybe you're a little bit hesitant about diving into macOS and you just want to give it a try, this would be a perfect device to do that with.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Rula. You ever have one of those weeks where everything just piles on? Stress at work, family stuff, money might be a little tight this month, and you're just kind of stuck in your own head. I've been there. I think we all have. And if I'm being honest, I probably should have talked to somebody about it way sooner. That's why I really like what Rula is doing. They've made therapy simple, not something you have to put off or overthink. You answer a few quick questions, and then, boom, you're connected with licensed therapists who actually take your insurance. The average session is like $15. Seriously, $15. That's like one day of lunch, but instead, you can get some help that you might need. And it's not a good luck, figure it out type situation. Rula stays with you, helps book your sessions, checks in on your progress. It's real support and not just a name on a screen. You can get matched and book your first appointment as soon as tomorrow. There's no wait list, no stress, no excuses. Thousands of guys have already used Rula to finally get the care they needed. Don't keep putting it off. Go to Rula.com/Mac and get started today. That's RULA.com/Mac. Take the first step. get connected, and take control of your mental health. Thanks, Rula, for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I do think that there's going to be a specific audience like we talked about with this, and the colors are kind of an interesting thing for me. Remember the MacBook that had the bunch of color options and it had the white frame? I wish that maybe this would be that. That would be cool. Like if there was a way to distinguish, like even if it was plastic, like if that portion was white, a white plastic on the bottom for the keyboard, like that would keep costs down. And then you can make it like fun colors for the top. I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating based on like those rumors that were, I don't know, they've happened for so many years, I feel like. But do you think that's a possibility, or is this just more of like it's going to look like an Air and it's going to have some colors based on the aluminum?
It's an open question what design Apple will use, but what I will say is that this is an entry-level device. And what Apple does and has done now for at least a decade is where it has the most low-cost offerings and it is trying to present something as a budget package, it reuses components and it reuses designs. So the iPhone 16e is a reworked design that was first used on the iPhone 14 Pro. That's an iPhone 14 Pro display. That's just a standard iPhone 14. It's the same frame. It's the same front display. And now the glass on the back is just frosted. But it is essentially a reused design. All of the SE models did that too. And I know that the iPad's design is a little bit more distinctive, but it is essentially a slightly thicker iPad Air, as was introduced in 2020. So when we apply this to the MacBook line, Apple has two choices, in my view. It can either repurpose the entry-level MacBook Pro or the MacBook Air. The reason why it might use the MacBook Pro is because it is thicker, it provides more internal space, and it clearly situates it as a design that is less agile than the Air. That strikes me as a less viable option, but it is one of them. The other one is that it reuses the design of the MacBook Air. I think that is less likely, because especially if it's more fun color options, I think that makes the MacBook Air a harder sell. And I still think that design is relatively new. So what's most likely to me is that Apple actually revives the design that was last used on the M1 MacBook Air, which is that device that we've seen in Walmart for around this price point, and was used, I think it was introduced in 2017 all the way through to 2020. And that is the MacBook Air with the tapered wedge design. And an LCD display, thicker bezels. And that is something that clearly next to a MacBook Air today would look a lot cheaper. But if you give that some fun colors, a lower price point, and Apple Silicon, I still think that would be very compelling to a lot of people. I know people today who still have MacBooks with that design, and they're very happy with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think this would do fairly well. This would be an easy recommend for a lot of people out there who just need something to get by, something generic or a secondary device. Like you said, maybe they got a really heavy Mac, you know, mini setup or a Mac Studio or something crazy where they just don't want to touch that on their desk and it's just a desktop situation. Well, you can get a cheaper one for travel and you've got what you need. I think that's the right move by Apple. Looking at this list of these three devices that we're going to talk about today, I feel like this could be a nice little mini spring event. Like the springtime is for the budget devices. I don't think they'd do an event, but maybe like a pseudo, you know, press release video event. What did they do for the 16E? That was just like a watch this video at this time, right?
I believe so.
We were on our retreats. So I don't remember what it was, but it was like at this time something was going to happen, but like it wasn't like a full blown event, correct?
As far as I remember, although I could be wrong.
I don't remember.
Especially with the 17E, like it looks like that will be a pretty iterative upgrade. I mean, the low cost MacBook is a whole new device. It's a whole new thing in the product lineup. It effectively represents a first generation. Whereas the 17E is going to be way less substantial than the 16E, which in a lot of respects was a completely new device as well. Yes, it reuses components, but it's not a direct continuation of anything, not even really an iPhone SE, which it is in a lot of respects, but you've got an excellent camera on there. No compromises with that. You've got a no compromise chip as well. And I'm in general very impressed by the iPhone 16e. I think it is extremely underrated. And the next version will be fairly small, just the biggest upgrade being the chip. So moving up to the same A19 chip that is used in the iPhone 17. And yeah, it's possible that it could get Dynamic Island. It's possible that it could adopt the design of the iPhone 15 as well. But I actually wonder if it's a little bit too soon for that, if maybe that is something that we're more likely to see with the iPhone 18e.
Like 15 getting... Did the 15 get the action button too, or was that just for pros? I think it got the action button.
I believe so. But it definitely got that more... the more curved edges and slimmer bezels and Dynamic Island. It does feel like a fairly dramatic design difference from the iPhone 14. And I can see Apple adopting that for its E device lineup in the future. But the another reason why I think it's more likely to appear with the iPhone 18e rather than the 17e is because the 18e will get an event. There is no doubt in my mind that the 18e is going to get an event. And the reason why I'm
with the, go ahead.
Yeah, you called it, but that's exactly why. It's because it will come out alongside the iPhone 18. There will be no iPhone 18 next year because we're just expecting to get the Air 2, the 18 Pro and 18 Pro Max, and the foldable. So three devices. And then the following spring, get the 18 and 18e together. So if Apple is actually launching the iPhone 18, and especially given how popular the iPhone 17 has been already this year, it has been really above and beyond the most successful device in terms of sales, and has really exceeded Apple's expectations. And I think we can see why. It's a great device and really quite good value for money as well. Stands up to flagships in a way that those iPhones have not really been able to do before. So I think an event is certain for that, as far as things ever can be certain with Apple. And as such, maybe a design difference will be justified for that generation rather than this one. I think two successive design changes year after year are maybe not so likely. I'm even skeptical it will get Dynamic Island. I think that is, again, something for the following year. But even if it is just a chip upgrade, maybe some new color options, that is still a good offering for someone who is walking into the Apple store off the street. We talk about this sort of person quite a lot, that even if to us we feel like, but why is Apple upgrading it? What's the difference? What's the point? The fact is, if I was in the market for an iPhone E model early next year, I would be glad that I was getting the version with the A19 chip that represents some of the latest technology rather than a device that was introduced over a year ago.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. The 17E is going to be the stepping, like the very first entry point to the iPhone at that point in time. So you'll have the 17E, you'll have the 17, the 17 Pro and Pro Max, and then the Air. The 17E being $599 and the iPhone 17 being just $200 more and being so much better, in my opinion, and being the phone of the year currently, is going to be a tough sell, more so than the 16E was this year with the 16. Does that make sense?
I agree. But I think that the E models are just for an audience that don't care.
I get it.
That if you're, I think there is this sort of this average user, and I think that that's what the iPhone 17 appeals to so perfectly. You've got great cameras. You've actually got two of them. You've got a large display. You've got slim bezels. You've got Dynamic Island. And you've got ProMotion now. It all feels very fresh. It feels pretty flagship, actually. You're effectively getting an iPhone 16 Pro, but minus the telephoto camera. It feels like a really premium offering, which some people really like. Quite a lot of average people want to feel like they're getting a lot of device for their money. But there are also a very separate group of people that just want an iPhone. They don't care about two cameras. They don't know what ProMotion is. They don't care about how thick the borders are around the display. And they don't know what a dynamic island is. And even if they got one, they wouldn't really see any difference to the notch. Those people love the E lineup.
Those people also make their displays, the text of the display, like 2x bold. You ever seen?
Yeah.
No shame. No shame to that. It's just, I feel like any person I've ever seen that uses a like iPhone 16e or like the lower end iPhones, that's always like a trope that goes with it. It's mostly because it's catered towards like older people. My dad does that. I mean, that's just, you know, I think I've personally recommended and have seen those people. Three different older people over the age of like 65 have bought 16Es after my recommendation and said that it's perfect for what they need. So I totally get it. And then for young, probably, you know, maybe you have like a tween or a teenager at home that's like, I want a phone, and you want to get them their first phone at 13. That's a good option as well. But it's just like for everybody else in the middle who are like, what iPhone should I get? Oh, I see the 16E or 17E now is it's $599. Should I just get that? It's like, if you care about some of these other things, you really might want to take a look at the standard phone now more than ever. And I used to throw so much shade, like literally 1 month difference. That's all it took. 1 month between me saying like, I don't care at all about the base model phone, to me being that is my favorite phone of the year. And I think that's the one that everybody should get if you don't need a telephoto lens. Like that's truly it.
I agree. And I think it's telling that it has been so successful for Apple, and the lead times on that model for delivery were way longer than anyone expected, because it's such a good proposition for the average person. A lot more than I was expecting, actually. But then at the same time, there are plenty of people, and I will get asked this question over the next year. I have to some extent already been asked it a few times. Where people will say to me, oh, so we've got this iPhone 16e. Shall I buy an iPhone 16? What's the difference? What am I getting for that money? And I say, oh, well, I mean, you get an extra camera, and you get Dynamic Island. And they say, yeah, but does it make phone calls the same? And it does. Like, does it take pictures? Yeah. Does it have a good screen? Yeah, it does. So, like, what are you getting for that money? Only people that care about having just a little bit more of a premium experience, which I think the average iPhone buyer today actually does. And that is why the iPhone 17 will be the most popular iPhone model over the next year that outshines all of the others. But there definitely is a place for that E model. There's no question.
No, sure. I'm not saying don't do it. And I even... myself, when I used it, I was like, this is a great phone. I could use this. I think it was more so the size, because I am fully reverting to a pro, you know, 6.3 inch or less person now. I'm just so into this size. So I think that's what always does it for me. But like, once you get a taste of ProMotion and you go back and forth, there is a huge difference. It's really hard to give up. And then having one camera, whatever, it's fine. I've been able to do it with the Air, but then once you get a taste of the new telephoto lens, it's so hard to not have these things. I will tell you, I'm looking at the 17 lead times to get a phone delivered to you. And even for some of the models, you can't even pick them up in stores. And it's shipping at the end of the month for almost all the models, storage configuration, and like 3 out of 5 colors. There's a couple of colors you can get right now in store for pickup, but all of them are not shipping until the end of the month. So that's pretty crazy. When was the last time we've seen this on the base iPhone?
I don't think we've ever seen it. Not this level of demand for that device.
A month later, basically.
It is a very compelling offer. The only thing that I do wonder about it is, if it were me and I faced a hard price limit and I could not go for anything more expensive than that device, would I get that, or would I buy a used iPhone 16 Pro? And yeah, that is one question with that. And for me, I probably would end up going for that because I still love the telephoto. That's the whole reason why I didn't buy an iPhone Air.
Sure.
But I think next year will be a good year for entry-level devices. I mean, even to come to the iPad 12, that was a little bit of a surprise, I think, in the tech community when the iPad 11 was unveiled and it didn't have Apple Intelligence. It does seem like a little bit of a glaring omission. So finally bringing Apple Intelligence and a more up-to-date chip, which also will have the A18, just like the low-cost MacBook, although not the Pro version of the chip, even though the iPhone 17e will actually abandon an A18 chip and go up to an A19 chip, but we'll ignore that. The iPad will have an A18 and support Apple Intelligence. And then the whole iPad lineup will, which just makes everything way easier.
I just want to play this little game with you real quick. What do you think the wait time is for an iPhone Air? Any model, any color, because they're all the exact
same. I don't think there is one now. I don't think there is
not. You can get one tomorrow if you order it, or you can go right into the store and get one. That is crazy. Because it really is a good phone. That just shows you that Apple priced themselves out a little bit too much, I think, personally. But or the cameras aren't really that big of a deal. But if, I don't know. I think if they would have made it $899, I feel like it would be flying off the shelves just a little bit more. What do you think the Pro is like?
Maybe 2 weeks.
So the Pro is available, at least in my store. Well, that's weird. The 1 terabyte is not available for any color. But every other option is available to pick up. If you want to buy one and have it delivered, it's at the end of the month, like the 17. So that's interesting. Just, you know, weird lead times, but makes sense for the Pros. I would expect that. The 17 is just the one that's shocking. And then real quick, before we wrap up the shorter episode, the iPad 12 is going to be also available at the same time, but that's an A18 chip with Apple Intelligence. Like, I don't know. Does anyone care about that? Do I want to throw shade at that? I use it. I quite a bit.
I care about it because I've been considering upgrading some family members' hardware. And I did consider, would now be the time to upgrade to an iPad 11? And I decided not to. And that was because of Apple Intelligence, which I know seems pretty crazy when Apple Intelligence is not a fantastic offering right now. But you keep iPads for so long. And especially if you're not in the tech community, if I'm just buying this for family members, they might have that iPad for 7 years. So do I want something that is going to support next generation AI features? Absolutely, because that may be absolutely integral going forward. And even little things like, say, one of the members of my family has an iPhone 16e and an iPad Air 3. So it's definitely time to upgrade that iPad. But they really like Genmoji, and they also like notification summaries. If I get them a new iPad that doesn't have those features, that will be a little bit confusing and not great going forward. So even though they don't care about tech, that was an occasion when I thought, actually, it's definitely appropriate to hold off for a year and wait until this is on Apple Intelligence. And although it may not be the most exciting device, the fact that I have come to that conclusion for my family means I probably am not the only one. And plenty of other people must be thinking that it needs to have that support going forward. I mean, we are expecting this really big upgrade to Siri. If that really does take off, if it does do everything that we need it to do, and a year from now, 2 years from now, Siri is incredibly powerful, of course you want an iPad that supports that. What am I more likely? What's more likely to happen? You know, people who are not in the tech community upgrade their iPad every 2 years, or Siri gets a lot better. Siri is more likely to get a lot better. So I'm happy to wait for that one.
I think this is like a kind of a 17 thing. Like, I throw shade at it because it's not the most exciting iPad, but it is the most useful one in my household. All of my kids get the base model like iPads. I just kind of swap those out when theirs is starting to get a little too old. And I actually use the most recent base model here. It's strictly for a teleprompter and some things that I need to do around the studio, but like it is very useful. It is a very good iPad. It's just, you know, going to get the least amount of flashy features, but it is perfect for the everyday person in the house, the family, definitely kids. If you don't want to get them a mini,
because and it's very affordable.
It's affordable, and the mini is more expensive. You know, the one thing that the children can hold easily is the one that costs more. It doesn't make any sense, but and they don't care. They just want an iPad that works. So I'm fine with it. All right. Well, that is kind of like a look into the spring, potential spring preview, you know, of what's going to go on in early 2026. Would love to hear from everyone what you think and what your thoughts are on these budget devices. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.